Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, we've been doing our Brown Bag Lunch series this week, part of our Uncommon Economic Indicators project. But there's one brown bag indicator that seems immune to cycles of boom and bust. It's the office refrigerator thief. Who hasn't been at work when the sarcastic email arrives hoping that whoever ate your leftover chicken curry really enjoyed it and then gets food poisoning? What makes someone do this? It's so mean. It's so personal. And in a small company, it's so brazen. Remember this episode of Friends?
Hi.
Hi.
What's wrong, buddy?
Someone at work ate my sandwich.
Well, what did the police say?
My Thanksgiving leftover sandwich. I can't believe someone just ate it.
Ross, it's just a sandwich.
Just a sandwich? Look, I am 30 years old, okay? I'm going to be divorced twice, and I just got evicted. That sandwich was the only good thing going on in my life. Someone ate the only good thing going on in my life.
Poor Ross. Helena Eklund writes the table manners column for Chow.com and wrote a piece on the best ways to foil the lunch thieves of the world. Hi, Helena. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Nobody stole my lunch today. Is there a profile?
Yet.
It's only 10 after 11. Is there a profile of the lunch thief? Who actually steals lunch from people they know at work?
Well, I think the kind of person that does it is the kind of person who thinks that it's a victimless crime. Like, you see a pudding cup or a Caesar salad or some soup in the office refrigerator, and you don't really think about it belonging to someone, about someone having got up that morning to make it. So they just think, it won't really hurt anyone if I take this. And especially if it's, like, say, like a processed food item, like a pudding cup, they think it's easy to replace, so it'll be no problem if they just take it. So that gives us an important clue as to how to prevent such office thievery.
Now, I wonder if anybody wants to call in with a story of a lunch thief who got caught. And if so, how did it play out? 212-433-WNYC. I don't know if there are any of these out there, but let's take a shot. Anyone have a story of a lunch thief who got caught? 212-433-9692. Who did it? Why do they do it? What happened once the secret was out? 212-433-WNYC. Helene, do you have any stories like that? It must be the most humiliating thing to be the lunch thief who actually gets caught. How do you go on working with those people?
I actually, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I found a video on YouTube that someone had posted of an office. If you look at, say, like office fridge thief on YouTube, you'll find this very tragic video of someone who put a hidden camera in their office kitchen, and then there's someone stealthily creeping up to the refrigerator and taking a sandwich. So now he's going to be shamed on YouTube before millions.
I guess so. Anyone listening want to confess to having ever been a refrigerator thief? What made you do it? 212-433-WNYC. Call up and confess. All we'll make you do is say a few Hail Marys or something. We won't call the police. 212-433-9692. Now, your column takes a page from Dale Carnegie and advises people not to post those famous snarky notes on the refrigerator or the company email, like, to whoever ate my salad, I have the flu. I'm contagious. That's not a good idea?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, and we all hate those people who, like, clutter up your email box with long, angry missives about their sandwich. I think what you should do is do write a note, but don't send it to the entire office. And don't even put it on the fridge door. Put it on your next sandwich. And then as to the content of the note, don't be all plaintive and angry, because then you'll just aggravate the thief. What you should do is talk about how you were hurt, and then they'll understand that there is a victim to their crime. And this probably will sound totally ridiculous to you, but I really think that it's the best solution. You can even put it inside your sandwich bag and just say, hi, before you steal my sandwich, just want you to know that I got up really early to make this. This is my favorite kind of sandwich. If you take the sandwich, I'll have to go out and spend $7 on a that I can't really afford right now. Please don't take my sandwich.
Emily on our Facebook page wrote, someone at my company caught a six-figure executive stealing people's food. And so Nick responded, Daily News headline, six-figure big in five-finger swipe. Eric in Englewood caught somebody stealing his sandwich. Right, Eric?
I did, Brian.
This is a
really funny spot that you have on. And it happened years ago in a very tiny conservatory of music in South Florida. And there were only 50 of us there, students, I mean. And I saw him eating a sandwich that looked a lot like mine in the library, the music library. So I went to check the fridge first, and sure enough, mine was missing. So I confronted him. And other than apologies left and right and a little discussion with the dean of music, it ended up I never have ever taken anything from a fridge since, because I remembered how horrifying that experience was for both of us.
Did you ask him why he did it?
I think he was a bit of a kleptomaniac. He had kind of a strong personality and was known for slightly raucous behavior in other areas of his life. So I wasn't really surprised that it was him
that was
thieving. But I was surprised to be caught in a situation that was sort of a red-handed experience.
Eric, thank you. Allison in Gowanus, you're on WNYC. Hi, Allison.
I had a similar experience, and it was also a six-figure executive who was my boss, who was a chronic sandwich thief, and my coworker actually caught him eating my sandwich directly out of the refrigerator one day.
And?
And he just said, oh, I was hungry, and continued to eat it. So we decided the best thing to do to keep people from eating our sandwiches was to, before you put it away, take a couple bites out of it so it looks a little gross.
He said, oh, I was hungry.
Totally unabashed about
eating
my sandwich.
And he kept eating it in front of you?
It was in front of me. It was in front of my coworker who sits next to me.
Wow. Yeah. Janice in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Janice.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. You got a story?
Yeah, I do. This happened to me several times. I guess my sandwiches and my stews taste particularly good. So when the salesman told me
to do it.
You do say
so yourself, yes.
And I just laved the inside of my meatloaf with Tabasco, put some chopped egg over it. Come lunchtime, I hear this coughing and gasping and near retching. And I just sat there with the sweetest little smile on my face. I didn't have repeat victimization after
you
that.
You planted a booby trap.
Hey, listen, you get what you ask for sometimes.
Janice, thank you very much. So, Helena, what do you think about that? And, you know, I've heard of somebody kind of faking putting rancid stuff on their food in your column, the plastic cover for your lunch container that has fake mold on it.
Yes. Yeah, so if you go to my column, you'll find a link. Someone invented this fake mold-covered plastic baggie to deter thieves. And if you look at it, it's quite revolting. What they've done, they sprayed the inside of a sandwich bag with green spray paint. So when you put a sandwich inside it, it looks like there's actually mold all over the sandwich. But I wouldn't recommend that, frankly, because there's always the office do-gooder who's trying to clear out the fridge and who sees this disgusting, rancid-looking item and just tosses it.
How about Janice's method?
Well, I'm an etiquette expert, so I can't recommend people go around poisoning people, but I can definitely see the temptation. And, you know, that reminds me of a story that you often hear, and I don't know if this is an urban myth or not, but you always hear about the person who, like, filled their sandwich with ground-up X-Lax or something like that.
Right. And somebody did actually, in response to this, post a link on our page to an anti-theft lunch bag that has fake mold on the outside. So anybody who feels sufficiently moved, now we know there is an actual product out there. Miriam in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Miriam.
Hi, Brian. Nice to speak to you.
Same here.
A friend of mine was pumping her breast milk daily when she was at work and storing it in the fridge. And another notorious food stealer, who we both knew, actually, was looking for milk for his coffee. And he decided he didn't see anything else, so he took that. He later found out what it was. I don't think he ever stole anything again.
I love the cautionary tales. Miriam, thank you.
I'm glad that you brought up milk, though.
Yes?
Because I feel like milk is kind of a gray area. Like, if you've run out of milk and you need to have some coffee and you're on deadline or something, I feel like it's okay to take a little splash of somebody else's milk, provided you then, you know, buy milk yourself and then they are willing to let people take some of your milk.
All right. I'm going to write a little note here that says, I undercooked my meat. I hope you get botulism. And I'm going to put that on all my... All right, Helena Eklund writes the Table Manners column for Chow.com and wrote a piece on the best ways to foil the lunch thieves of the world. We won't stop the practice, but we may be able to diminish it a little bit. Right, Helena?
Yeah.
At least make people really kind of queasy about it. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.